Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our guest this week is Kyle DeSantis, who is the managing director for the Drury Lane Oakbrook and the Drury Lane Water Tower Place Theaters. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about the new show that is opening at Drury Lane Oakbrook, Meet Me in St. Louis.
Well, it's a very nice show for the holidays. It's got a lot of singing, a lot of dancing to it. We're very excited about the production. It opened on Thursday, and we have Jimmy Cordy directing it, who directed the Full Monty here.
Yes, he did. He's a terrific director.
He is, and he's really sort of put a good perspective on the show. I think everyone that goes to see it will really like it. It's a nice classical piece, but you really get to know a little bit more about the characters, and there's a lot of focus on the dancing and everything, so it's a great production.
So it's more than the movie with Judy Garland that everybody remembers the trolley song.
I'd like to think so. Jimmy wanted to try and focus on the characters and making the characters step out a little bit more than he thought they did in the movie and another stage production. So that was his focus on the production.
And can you tell us some of the people that are in the show?
There's a bunch of people in the show. There's a great girl that plays Esther. She's got a very sweet, perfect voice. It's perfect for the role.
Terrific.
A lot of the Chicago actors that have been in a lot of our productions here and in other places downtown. It's a very strong cast, and I think they all get along very well together, and it shows on stage. They can all, react together.
Well, the theater out there seats, what?
Just under 1,000.
Just under 1,000, but it has an intimate feel to it, just the way that it's laid out.
Yeah, it definitely does. There's no obstructions in the theater. Everything is on one level, so it's a great space. I enjoy watching shows there.
Well, great. And it runs, it opened on the 25th of October, and it runs till when?
It plays until the end of December.
End of December. So it becomes a holiday show. Well, they have the big Christmas song in there,
it
too.
It does, it's a good show to have around this time of the year.
And it's a real, one of those feel-good shows, family shows that you can take children to.
It definitely is. We always try, especially during the holiday season, to have a show that you can bring your whole family to, something to do for the holidays that you can all enjoy together. There's a nice message that goes through the show, and it's appropriate for everyone.
And it's about, the tickets are about half of the downtown price.
Yeah.
which I think is a testimony. Yet it's a full equity production.
It definitely is a full equity production. So no expense was spared on the set and the costumes or anything else. But the ticket price is substantially lower than it would be in the city.
Well, great, and you can go to the Drury Lane Oakbrook website too for more information.
Yep, you can get your tickets on there.
Well, great. Well, now let's get into what I think is the real story here. Is your family, your grandfather was one of the men that really made regional theater and the dinner and playhouse concept work in Chicago.
Yeah, he definitely was.
My research showed that in 1949, his first was by the Martinique at 95th and Western. He had a tent theater.
That's correct. He had actually had a restaurant and with a large parking lot, and two men that sort of toured around doing summer stock productions approached him and asked if they could put on a production in the parking lot in a tent. And they did that for a couple of summers. And then my grandfather thought that this is something that he could actually do. It helped the restaurant business, and he started to get the bug for doing something to do with the theater. So,
and then he ended up building... In its heyday, the Drury Lane concept had a central place at Oakbrook, if I remember correct,
right.
And then north at what is now Marriott Theater,
mm-hmm.
And south was at 95th Street at Evergreen Park, and then for many years it was the theater we're sitting at now at Water Tower.
We had one other theater too at McCormick Place.
Oh, you did have it, McCormick. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you sort of grew up in this this business.
Since I was, since
we won't I say, was but you're little, a 20-something young young hotshot now. Okay.
So my first memories of the theater were really at my grandfather's footsteps. He always lived close to the theaters, and in most of the time lived on top of the theater, if you will. So my memories of visiting Grandma and Grandpa always revolved around walking backstage, walking on the stage, and being in the theater with my grandpa. So that's how, really how I started to experience the theater from a very small child.
Did they take you to see all the shows too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I used to sit on my grandpa's lap, especially during when they were rehearsing the show, the new show that was going to open, when there was no one in the theater.
Oh, that must
especially
have been fun.
When I was young. Yeah, it was definitely very fun. He would always sit in the back row and just watch a little bits and pieces of it, but I'd always sit in there with him. So it was, you know, stemmed my interest in the theater.
I had heard rumors that maybe it was in his later years, but that he rarely went to the shows. Is that true?
My grandfather was really shy. I'm not sure how much you know about him, but he never really liked talking.
Well, if you have some good anecdotes, because there's a lot of people have memories of him, and part of what we try and do in these podcasts is do an audio history of theater in Chicago.
Yeah, no, he definitely, he was a very shy person, and I think he always questioned his knowledge about the theater. He never thought that he knew as much as maybe the director or someone else, but my grandfather always watched every show. He didn't maybe watch it in its entirety all at one time, but he would go in every day and see, watch a couple of acts until basically he saw the whole show.
Oh, okay.
And there were definitely times if there was something as simple as the color of a set that he didn't like, that he would make his opinion heard. So
okay. And we're sitting here in the Water Tower Place, Drury Lane Theater, the red carpet, red seats, and the crystal chandeliers. It's sort of a trademark, isn't it?
It's definitely his trademark. He loved anything that was gilt and sort of red. And I think he wanted to setting this opulent tone for the theaters. Make people think they were coming to something that was just grand and exciting, which it was.
Yes, it is, yes.
That was part of his joy about producing.
But it wasn't. But he also said a quote, he says, keep the prices down, but the quality of the show is up.
Well, definitely. My grandfather's motto with anything that he's done, and my motto, and my aunt before me, is to make this type of art form accessible to everyone, not just a select few people. That's the excitement that we have, is being able to produce shows that a lot of people can enjoy. And hopefully one of
them. Well, they do. And even before I was reviewing, I was, for many years, came out at Oak Brook. And I went to 95th Street too, but mostly to the Oak Brook. I kind of liked the idea of, you had dinner, but not in the theater. It was a little different than Bill Polinsky when he did a Candlelight.
Right, definitely.
And the dinners were terrific. And all I remember, I don't remember the price offhand, but it was like less than the price of a downtown ticket with dinner.
Yeah, it's still that way now, actually. The tickets with the dinner are around $40.
So with the dinner. Mm-hmm. And the dinners were terrific because it's a full not just a buffet. It's a full soup, salad, and the whole deal, right?
Exactly, yep.
And but that's how you got your start, right? Because I know you're a Loyola grad, as I am.
I am, yeah.
Okay, in business administration.
Exactly.
So your education in theater was just for all those years of seeing everything.
From when I was a little boy, yeah, definitely. And because of that, I always had an interest in the theater. When I was younger, and still today, I've done a lot of traveling, and I enjoy going to New York and to London to see the plays there as well, just for a different perspective. Realizing that what we're doing in Oak Brook isn't necessarily the same thing, but you still get good ideas, and it's nice to expose yourself to all different types of
productions. Oh, yeah, because I'm sure now you look at some of the modern shows and saying, well, we'll be doing that when it's regional theater in 5, 6, 10 years,
definitely.
Whenever. Yeah,
it's an exciting time. There are a lot of new shows, younger shows, are coming out for us to do in Oak Brook in the next couple of years.
And there are a number of shows that really didn't work too well on Broadway because they didn't work in the big stage, or they were overproduced.
Yeah.
That when they go to regional theater in the little bit smaller stages, they get sort of reinvented, and a lot of them succeed. I think Cats is one of those shows that even though Cats did very well.
It did, but Cats would be an example of that. There's a lot of shows like that. There's a difference between going to see. The nice thing about our theaters is that they're more intimate than some of these larger houses. So you really do feel like you're more a part of what's actually going on stage, and that's part of the excitement I have in producing the shows.
Well, and for years, Drury Lane was known, and it was a good thing. I never thought it was negative, but where they tended to do classical versions of classical shows, mm-hmm. where they didn't played safe in the sense they didn't reinvent them.
Right.
But I'm just wondering if you're going to keep that basic tone, or if you guys are going to get more experimental? Or
I guess it depends on the piece that you're talking about. Okay. There's certain pieces that are classic and good for a reason. They're just
that's true.
Good,
like Fiddler, yeah, you can't mess with, or Annie.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it, and there's always going to be a generation of people that haven't seen that show. So I like producing shows like that. It doesn't mean that that's all we should do, though, and there should be a little bit of a variance in our season.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear, because I've noticed Marriott's doing it, and some of the theaters, the smaller theaters in the city, are doing it. A balance between doing the classics that, you know, I agree with you, have to be done every so many years, because there's a whole new generation that have never seen Sound of Music or Oklahoma. But also there's room to either reinterpret shows, like I know you guys are doing The Boys from Syracuse.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. You got to tell us about it. With David Bell, a new version?
It's going to be a new version, and it's going to be, from what I'm hearing, similar to what he did with Hot Mikado. It's going to be...
Oh, wow. That was brilliant.
Yeah. It's going to be very fun, and it is going to be very... There's going to be a lot of dancing in it, lots of sort of that 40s music. So I'm very excited about that. And that's one of... Surprisingly, it's the least known of the titles that we're doing next season, and that show has gotten a lot of excitement from our regular subscribers and groups.
Well, us old guys and old ladies, we know that show, and that is a brilliant show. It just that's a great idea to bring that back. You're also doing Miss Saigon.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Now Marriott did it. Did probably the first great regional production of it. That's an example of a show that I think was kind of overproduced, and in the smaller houses it worked. But are you guys going to have a helicopter?
We're going to see.
Okay.
I would like to get one somehow on the stage. We are going to probably bring back the director that did the Marriott's version as well, because he really liked the point of view that he had when he did it. Joe Leonardo.
Oh, Joe Leonardo.
So that's something that we hope to do. Yeah, Miss Saigon for me is just... It's always been one of my personal favorite shows.
Yeah, it's
so
one of mine.
I stuck that in there just because it's one of the first shows I can remember seeing when I was younger with my family in London, and it just always spoke out to me. So that was sort of a personal thing that I wanted to go in.
But that's legitimate, because there's only been one regional production of it here.
Yeah, definitely. It's a beautiful story, and it's a very contemporary story, and I think it works, and I'm excited about doing that show.
Well, so that's terrific. What about doing, I know usually you mix up your year or under your aunt when Diane Von Lenti was producing. By the way, she was such a dear, sweet lady that just loved theater.
She definitely did. It's hard. It's weird right now with her not being there. There's so many times that I wish I could just talk to her and ask for her advice about something. We had a very close relationship, and we talked a lot over the telephone, and I mean, I worked with her in the same building for 15 years. So,
what did you do? Did you run the? I understood you run the food part of it, right?
Exactly.
The catering and the food.
Mm-hmm. So I started off doing that. I actually started off working in the box office when I was 15. So that was my first job there. But then it sort of graduated to the food end of it.
So you were doing the food end of it, but you were still, you know, closely involved in watching what Chi-Chi is there.
Yeah,
knew exactly what she was doing to produce, because
exactly.
she had a good touch, and so
she definitely did, and it was wonderful for me to watch that. It's different when you're in a family business, as I'm in. The lines of what you're supposed to be doing, what you know, they're just sort of crossed over. And I would always talk to my aunt about the shows, and she'd always give me her insight about the shows, what she was doing, and talk to me about issues that she was having. And I would do the same with the restaurant side. So we were both well informed of what was going on.
Yeah, and with your formal education being in business administration, that was actually pretty smart strategy, because it's first and all business.
It is, and that's where... She was a very good businesswoman, and I've learned a lot from her, maybe even a little bit more than I did in school, as
okay.
far as how to handle the production side of the theater. But it was definitely helpful to do that.
Well, you're up to, from what I understand, over 24,000 subscribers.
Yep, just around that. So we're just sending out our new subscription this year, so hopefully we can add more to that. It's our goal to increase the subscription.
Well, of course, and you have to start focusing on on the younger audiences too, as everyone does, because basically a lot of the theater subscribers are older people, and so you got to get the young folks in.
They are, definitely. Whenever we put a younger show though in Oakbrook, it's amazing how the audience transforms into a younger audience. If we do something like Grease, we tend to get a lot more of the younger crowd that goes.
I have a feeling you're going to be doing some more of the younger show. I think Miss Saigon will be a show that would appeal to the youngers.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of, I mean, we talked with everyone in the theater department at Drury Lane and asked some of their opinions, things that they'd like to see. So we really all collaborated on the season that we're having this year.
So give us all the new shows now. So
we have Sweet Charity.
Terrific show.
And then the Buddy Holly story. And Boys from Syracuse. We're doing MAME at Christmas. And then we're doing Miss Saigon.
Now, it's a nice balance.
It is.
Yeah, you're balancing classical shows with, you know, Buddy Holly will bring the younger shows.
Well, that's what we thought. We've that genre of musical, sort of that forever plaid concert type musical, has always done very well at Drury Lane. So we'd
like
to continue doing something like that. We're excited about what we can do to Sweet Charity.
Are you going to make some changes to that?
I believe so. Jimmy's going to direct that as well.
Okay.
And so we're going to start talking about that as soon as we...
Yeah, he's got a good touch on that. What he did in your production here at Water Tower for Full Monty was terrific.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I loved what he did with that. And he brings so much passion to the stage, and he really gets the most out of the actors.
You know, they love him too. Yeah. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, he's one of those guys like, oh, it's Jim Cordy, I got to go, you know. They'll turn down bigger shows sometimes to work with him.
Well, he creates a nice family atmosphere, so I think everyone gets really excited to work with him.
So I noticed they're all musicals.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that we talked about, my aunt and I started to talk about, was bringing it back to just doing 5 musicals.
Yeah, because you were mixing them up with a comedy, and you did some brilliant comedies.
We did.
This past year, you had several of them that were excellent.
We've done that for a long time. We decided to change it up just a little bit because at this point, we didn't really feel there was a comedy that we really wanted to do. I think we wanted to focus on just returning back to the original roots of the Oakbrook location, which was doing all musicals at one point.
That's right. It used to be all. Because I saw most of them.
Yeah, well, good.
And I used to come for the dinners. The dinners are terrific, too. And you know, it's
great.
Even a city guy, you take the ride out to Oakbrook, get there early. There's plenty of parking. There's like 1,400-car parking lot.
There's lots of parking there. We are going to not change the dining room menu, but we're going to gear it, change it a little bit for each show, sort of do things that tend to maybe be thematic with the show.
Give us an example.
Well, Miss Saigon, we can do things.
You can do Oriental food.
A little bit more of an Asian flair to it. The Sweet Charity taking place in the 60s, maybe getting some classical recipes from that period, just to try and change the dining experience for people that do. There are a lot of people that go to dinner in the show on a regular basis, so just to change it for them, so it's not always the same thing.
That's an excellent idea, because a lot of places that have the dinner, it's the same 4 or 5 things, and you get tired of the chicken or the fish, or even though it's good, you just, you know, it's the same taste.
We're just going to continue to change the menu with each show, so it's not, and there'll still be some of the standard things on that people have enjoyed for a long time, but we do want to add some different items to them just to make each menu different.
Okay. And you go year-round, so there's really no real dark time.
That's correct.
Yeah, that people like to. And that helps you establish a nice core of workers, because it's a full-time job. It isn't just, you know, when you have the show, so that would help.
It definitely does.
All right, let's talk about Water Tower Place, because the remodeling that was done here, I mean, the theater's beautiful.
Thank you.
And I know they tried some shows, and then there was mixed success. I thought the Grand Hotel was fabulous.
Yeah, it was a great production of it. That was probably one of my favorites of that season, and I particularly like that musical in general. But it was hard, you know, to sort of mount a whole season in a very short amount of time, with very limited advertising. It was hard to get the theater up and running. And sort of during that time is when my grandfather's health began to decline. My aunt's health was not doing well. And Spelling Bee was a nice fix to come in here. It did very well.
Yeah, it did very well. Ran forever here. Yeah,
yeah, we could have, you know, we focused a little bit more on our family at that time. And
well, there's times you have to do that. And I know family, you've said that, you've used that word several times here. And that's a real Chicago concept.
Yeah, it definitely
is. You know, where family businesses grow and then they pass it on to another generation.
It definitely is. So
you got to be proud of that, what they've done. I mean, does it scare you at all running it now after what they built up?
You know, it's anything this large is intimidating, especially at my age. But I was born into this, and I expected to always work for the company. So,
so you had your eye on being managing director one day.
I had one day, yeah.
Good. So that's a valid goal.
I've always been involved. It's an important part of our family. It's an extended member of our family, if you will.
Surely. Now, there's talk, and I've heard different rumors that you're either looking for more sit-down shows or you're going to go back and produce shows. Can you give us an insight on...
Well, we're just in the process right now of figuring out what the next step is. We're not closing doors on any of those things. If the right sit-down production came in, then we would take that. And if it...
Like if an Avenue Q came, which I think is perfect.
Yeah. It would be a great show here, yeah. And it's something that we are definitely trying to pursue to bring into the theater at some point, whether we help produce it or whether they come in here. But that's something down the road. I mean, Altar Boys just opened up. It's doing very well. So
terrific production. I thought better than the tour. I thought it had a little more energy, and having a few local actors certainly helped.
Yeah, I think it does. And I just think that this particular show, it's better in a venue like this. It's better
Absolutely.
In a smaller venue.
But this seats, what, 500?
Just over 560.
560. So. And as you look, and there's not a bad seat in the house.
No, there definitely isn't. That was always very important in the design for my grandfather.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing there. Yeah, he did it from a consumer point of view rather than, you know, sometimes theaters are designed by the artists.
Yeah,
and they
definitely.
Forget people have to sit in the tin watch it.
I mean, with this theater in particular, my grandfather, I had the privilege of being at his side when he was going through all of the drawings and in the construction process, and he was extremely involved. There wasn't one thing that he didn't sort of miss, even at 90 years old. He was
very hands-on.
Oh, definitely.
Well, and he knew, and he'd been in the business all his life and had built so many theaters.
Yeah, and it's like you said, he always came from the perspective of the consumer, especially with making sure that the sight lines were good everywhere. And we had to lose more seats because of that, but that's the way that my grandfather wanted the theater to be. So,
well, he certainly left you a great foundation.
Yeah, definitely.
But at a certain point now, for Drury Lane, I realize if you're open for a strong sit down show, being right on the Magnificent Mile and so forth, with also the big tourist attractions are in this town. Now, that's a good way of going. But at a certain point, if you decide to go a season, then you're kind of going back into the subscription business, right? Isn't that kind of a different business?
It's definitely a different business. And I'm still undecided as to whether or not something like that would work at this theater. I'm not opposed to producing shows here. There's certain things that can play a little bit longer than others. And I think to anything that we bring into the theater in the city, in the theater downtown, needs to be contemporary. And it needs to not compete with New York, but be on the same level as what's on Broadway right now, something that's a little bit more new, younger, something that appeals to all of the tourists that come through here.
I agree with you on that. And you got to have the flexibility. The problem with subscriptions is you got to give them five shows or whatever the number is.
If we had Spelling Bee in here with a subscription, I mean, the show played for almost 2 years, so we would have really limited how many tickets we could have sold on that.
Yeah.
So
that's probably the way I'm thinking. That's probably what you'll end up doing, is on a show by show basis.
That's where we're leaning towards now. Nothing can be ruled out. But I think for right now, as we still try and establish our presence in the city, that we would be doing more standing productions.
Okay. And because with all the sit down shows, with Jersey Boys in town now and Wicked, they're kind of running out of venues, too.
They definitely are, but it's nice to see that Chicago's really building up a theater community.
I agree.
Where theater can stay here for a long time. Something like Wicked can be here for several years. I think that's great.
I do too. And what it just helps everybody, because it gets people back to seeing live theater. And when they get a taste of it, you know, they'll come here and see the show. You give them decent shows that appeal to their demographic, they'll come.
Right, which is an enjoyable part about going to a place like New York, where you really, there's just so much out there for you to go see. And there's a lot, you know, I'd like to bring Chicago to that level at some point, where there's just a lot of different things going on any given night that can appeal to a bunch of different people.
What's your view on original productions, world premieres?
I think it's very hard to do that. Especially at Oak Brook, something like that would be pretty difficult to do there. And if the right piece came along, we wouldn't rule it out for the downtown. I think it could work down here.
It's just a lot more effort. I know even Marriott, with their large subscription base, they'll throw one in here or there, and it's, Terry James has told me, it's always a gamble.
It definitely is.
Even, I mean, they'll trust you. Your subscribers will trust you for a show here and there that they don't know. But they won't take too many of those. They want to see, you know, the kind of stuff they're used to seeing, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, the city, the theater down here, and I've talked to Terry about this too, the theater down here lends itself more to doing an original production than, say, the Oak Brook Theater or the Marriott Theater.
I agree. Now, what about things like star concerts and little short runs? I know you got Debbie Reynolds coming.
We're going to do that, and we're trying to bring in a country act in October in Oak Brook.
That would be perfect, because, yeah, you know, country's still big, and the demographic out there, I think it would work.
Well, we have a whole list of different people that we're trying to get in there.
Superstar types.
Yeah, at this point, we're, you know, definitely it will be sometime next October. We've fitted into our schedule. It's just a matter of who it's going to be. We're talking with 3 or 4 different people right now.
Oh, great!
And then we had talked about even downtown. On days that were dark, Monday, Tuesday, possibly bringing in a big-name comedian or something along those lines, just to bring more people into this space.
Well, I think, you know, sure, Madness is doing well, and they do Mondays. I think off nights would work. I agree with you. Because with people coming in, you know, just the concierges could send you enough tickets with all the hotels and the tourists.
Well, that's just it, and it's just kind of an exciting time, because we get to experiment a little bit with the programming. You know, does something work on a Monday night? We can try it out and see if it starts to work and if it catches on, and then something that we continue. And if it doesn't work, we can try and find something else to generate.
Yeah, because you don't. You still have the overhead on the dark night.
So, that's right.
And there's people that like that. I love going on Monday nights, and I think slowly but surely some people are thinking in terms of that.
I like it too. I mean, I often like to go to the theater just in general during the weekdays, because the weekends tend to be so busy, and it just tends to be a little bit more quiet time to go and actually see something and enjoy it. So I would go see something on a Monday.
All right. So now, what is your vision? We're getting near the end of this, and thank you for this.
No
I mean,
problem.
You're giving us some terrific insights. What is your vision for the Drury Lane Theater? What do you want to see 5, 10 years from now? I mean, you're the young guy, you're the new generation, you know, it's the 21st century.
I definitely want to respect the tradition that my grandfather and my aunt started before me, but I would like to bring the theater, increase our subscription base even more than the ready nice number that it is right now. I want to continue to increase the production quality of the shows out in Oak Brook, and really create something that was, you know, dear to my grandfather's heart, entertaining people and putting the best possible thing that you can put on the stage. And I don't want to diminish anything that my aunt or my grandfather did. I just want to do as they did before me and try and make every production, every season, better than the last one, and continue on with that. Still doing more traditional things in Oak Brook and trying to bring some very contemporary things into this theater.
Boy, that sounds like a great plan.
You know, I growing up in the theater, I love the theater. It's part of my life, and I wish other people my age felt the same way. So if there's a way that I could share that excitement about the theater with them, if I could have someone sit in one of these theaters and really want to go see something else and, you know, really appreciate the art form of just live performance.
Have you ever had any interest in directing or acting, or have you ever done it?
No, you know, always on the side of just watching it and being the producer. Other than that, that's where.
Okay. Well, we can't. I'm the same way. I was in one unforgettable play when I was living in Florida. But that's why I have such respect for actors, that what they do is so hard.
It's amazing. And they really, I mean, to be able to entertain people and to take people out of the context of the problems of the world for a couple hours is an amazing thing. And it's so important. So
yes, it is.
It's just an amazing opportunity to have to continue this.
Well, I have a feeling that your grandfather and your aunt are looking down from up above, and they got a big smile on their face, and they're saying, hey, what we built up is going to keep going.
I hope so, and I'm sure that it will keep going.
Well, with the energy you have and the vision you have, and that you're a theater lover, that's kind of what it takes. And I'm sure you got the business sense to, you know, it's still a dollar and cents business too.
It definitely is, but it's more fun to talk about the creative.
Yeah, well, but I'm a believer that if you give people, you do your demographics, but if you raise people's expectations, give them more than they expect. That's why the key thing you said was you want to continue to make the shows even better than they were. Mm-hmm. You do that, you'll have your audiences because word gets around.
That's what I hope.
Well, thank you so much for the interview. And folks, remember, get out to Oak Brook to see Meet Me in St. Louis, which is a terrific show. And I'll tell you, the dinners are strong, too. Well, and remember, folks, go see a play this week. Thank you for listening.